True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. We have a great show today. Anytime I can do a scrub, we can do a scrub and find something new. I think it's really important in the Nancy Guthrie case. Now, I want to make something very clear here, and that is that it takes a village. I received a couple of DMs alerting me to some information. And I looked into it. My team did a great job getting this together. And here we are. So we're going to go into it. Again, we are going to be talking about Nancy Guthrie. Nancy Guthrie, Nancy Guthrie, who disappeared. I shouldn't say disappeared. She was abducted on... Let's see if we can get this to screen. Thank you. Who was abducted on February 1st in the wee hours of the morning, 1:47. Her porch camera, which was a Nest camera, was yanked out of her wall. She was then abducted, her pacemaker disconnected at 2:28, at 2:12. There's an individual seen on her lawn. I want to remind everybody that there were actually three cameras at Nancy's house. For those of you who might not know, there was a camera at the door that we've seen. There was also two cameras on the roof. Those cameras that were on the roof were later discovered by law enforcement and removed many days later, actually, from the initial time. The FBI actually removed them. I have a great picture of that, but I don't want to take the time to call that up. But just to let you know, there is camera footage of those being removed by FBI's evidence response team. They were just discovered late. Nevertheless, there's footage on those cameras showing an individual. All right, let me get to it. And again, to me, anytime we can find any nuggets of information, I'm calling this new because for me, I have never heard these dispatch reports. If you've heard them, that's great. I've put dispatch reports on here before. The one we had that was actually News Nation did a great job of finding that dispatch report and going over it. And I've gone over it both on my Twitter. I believe I've gone over it here. In fact, I'm sure I have very, very early on. I just had never heard these dispatch. We've got actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different dispatch entries that I very much believe are responding to the Nancy Guthrie case. And so really important, I think, anytime we get these nuggets. There were a couple things said that I thought were very interesting and made me give a little bit of pause. Nevertheless, I want to do a couple of things. First of all, I'm going to play a video while I get that roof camera up just to show everybody. I'm going to play a little bit of video here from Savannah Guthrie on the Today Show because I think that this is important to kind of reference as we look at these dispatch entries. Here we go.
I mean, from the very early moments, you know, Annie and Tommy were saying this isn't that case that right. You are used to where someone wanders off. She can't wander off.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that was really, really short. Apologies there. I thought I had the big long clip up here. Let me go ahead and put the longer clip, or actually I can just go over it. Essentially, what she goes on to say is, listen, there were hospitals checked and so on. So I think it's really important to note that in this clip with Hoda, she talks about how the hospitals were checked and that essentially what happened was because those two back doors were open, that family thought that she might have been taken due to a medical emergency. And that actually makes some sense that you could have a medical emergency, that you could have a doctor call based on the what was happening with her pacemaker and that would have been monitored and that they called somebody and when they arrived, she was unconscious. So I thought that made some sense for a family to think that. Again, anyone who is either been through something like this or investigated something like this, I can promise you what happens is the family first and foremost thinks of logical explanations. For instance, if you come home and you find a family member that you expect to be there but isn't there, what is the first thing you do? You walk around your house and you yell their name. Hey, you go into the bedroom and they're not there and you're like, hey, John, where are you? And then you go to the other rooms because you think they're supposed to be there. Then maybe you go outside and you check, is their car there? You make sure their car is there. And then you look around your yard. You look in the pool. You look at any place they could possibly walk off to. In Nancy's case, she had an absolutely huge estate in comparison to most people who just have a yard, right? A yard under a quarter acre. She had a huge yard with a large house, with a pool, with a cabana house. There's a lot of places that they would need to search because something could have caused her to get up that morning and go into the cabana house. Maybe she heard something. Maybe she thought she was looking for something in there. There's all sorts of things. So that's what family initially does. Remember, and I want to pull up this timeline because these dispatch logs are now going to be used to be incorporated in this timeline. And by the way, I agree with Quinley 121 saying, listen, they don't prop open doors. That is not what medical people do. They would never leave a house unsecure. I totally agree with you. But I also agree that these are thoughts that would run through a family member's mind knowing they have somebody that is in has a lot of health issues. But this is the timeline we're working with. We've gone over this in grave detail, so I'm not going to do it again. But I am going to point out that I will die on the hill with this. These times are so specific, down to the second, 5:32, not 5:30. 5:48, not 5 or 9:48, not 9:50. The reason that is this is going to be from electronic or digital type information, whether that's a garage door opener, whether that's a phone, whether that's the disconnection of that pacemaker, whether that's when Google reported that the phone disconnected. That is why you're seeing all these very specific times. The reason it says approximate up there is we have to do that from a legal standpoint. For instance, if this is introduced, because there are numbers after that. It's 5:32, 1776 or whatever it might be. So we always say approximately because you do not want to be called on the carpet when, oh, listen, if you round it up, it really would have been 5:33. So that is how we roll in law enforcement. These times I'm going to give you are going to add to this timeline. They're going to be other times that are up here very specifically to give us even more of a timeline. Some of this you're going to hear, it's going to tee you off a little bit, probably. I know with me, it did. And then others, you're going to understand just the time it takes for different things to be done. To give a little grace when it comes to just the amount of time it takes to do things right. So anyway, let's see. I want to, first of all, give credit where credit is due. And that is where this was found. And it's an account I had never heard of, and now I know why I had not heard of it. This individual is a person who was apparently very much watching very closely to what was happening in the story. This was a person that is a true crime person who was watching the Nancy Guthrie case and then started to do some investigating herself and then actually put what she found in terms of these logs up on a podcast, if you will. Her name is Juanita Adame. Juanita Adame. And so I want to give her credit. You're going to see her up here. We're going to skip past sort of a lot of her commentary and just move along to the times because those are what's really important. My opinion is these are the true legitimate dispatch related to Nancy Guthrie. this person, Juanita, takes a lot of care to say, listen, I don't know for sure, but you're going to hear them and you're going to see why the things that are mentioned and the time frame that is mentioned, it all lines up and makes sense, unless there was miraculously another older lady that was reported missing at this exact time with a cane. Anyway, I believe these are accurately the dispatch times that are reported here, and I wanted to pass these on to you. Again, if you've seen them, apologies. We're going to go over it again. I have never seen this in anything I've reviewed, and so I thought it was really important to spend the time to get this up and to get this to you. All right. So let's, first of all, let me get this up. We're going to just start right out of the chute, and then we'll talk about each one as I sort of fast forward through the commentary and go straight away. All right, here we go. We're going to start at this mark, and here we go. Let me make sure I have this turned up nice and loud for you all.
Hey, can you check for any transports or hospitals, please?
Okay. So did you hear that? Did you see that? Essentially, it says, can you check all transports and hospitals, please? So this is the dispatch call asking for individuals within law enforcement to check that. Let me just go back just the teeniest bit so you can see it up here. Okay. Can you check priority transports or hospitals, please? You can see that time is at 12:17. These are approximate times. So this is really, really important, I think, because when you look at this time, you say, 12:17, that makes a lot of sense, right? Because at 12:03, 911 was called. I'll call your attention back up to this. Okay. We know for certain that at 12:03, 911 call was made to Pima County from Annie and Tomasa. That's just a fact. And the reason they know it's 12:03 and it doesn't say 12:05 is because that's a particular time that the dispatch log noted. So very important here. And again, that is on when she was first discovered missing. Recall, the 31st is on a Saturday. So Saturday evening, as many of you know, she actually goes up to the her family's house. She takes an Uber there while they're fixing dinner, preparing to play games. They play Mahjong. They have dinner. And then she is transported back via not an Uber, but Tommaso Cioni. So Tommaso Cioni, who is her son-in-law, drives her back, been her son-in-law for about 20 years, and they were also caretakers. Now, I want to make it clear. What I am showing you is not only facts. This is evidence. It's facts and evidence. What I'm showing you. This will absolutely be up on some sort of timeline. This helps law enforcement to understand when individuals were called to a scene and what action was taken, which is, of course, a lot of what a lot of people are wondering about. So let me go on with these clips. So again, this is the first one.
So here in this one, I hear a law enforcement official.
And I think the reason that this
also estimated
is particularly important is because it points out that time frame and that hospitals were contacted. Remember, when you're thinking about what happened, everybody wants to know what happened after Tommaso and Annie. How did we get to this stage? Where was the search and rescue? What all happened and when did it happen? This gives us these pointers, these details that are going to be marked on this timeline. So again, you have a situation where hospitals are checked because dispatch says, listen, call and check hospitals. Annie and Tommaso, did they call and check hospitals between the time they arrived there? And I'm going to give you this time frame. They arrived there on 11:56. So within 7 minutes, you guys, they decided to call 911. This was not it doesn't take a rocket scientist to say, geez, I better call 911. I got blood on the stoop. I have doors that are propped open. I have a missing mother. I don't show that her shoes are gone. Likely know exactly what shoes she had. They were her caretakers. I speak from the place of not only doing these types of investigations with missing people, but also with myself caretaking for a mother. And I can tell you, I knew all her shoes. She didn't have very many. Her house slippers, what she wore to bed. You know why? Because she wore like one or two. And so it's very important to understand that they knew, again, look at this time frame, very early on. How come this says 11:56? Because this is a digital trail, everyone. Anybody who has actually in law enforcement, if you're listening to somebody in law enforcement, say that this is anything other than digital time references. They don't know their ass from a banjo. I've said this before. They have never had to put these logs together, Spicy Gin this morning, where they get this down to the minute. You always put approximate for legal purposes. So again, she left they arrived at 11:56. Within 7 minutes, they called. 7 minutes. This is how we know. This is directly from law enforcement. This is with the law enforcement partners on stage saying, this is our time zone. This is what we have here. And it says 11:56, not 11:55. Don't listen to what Sheriff Nano says when he throws out, it was about 11. Yeah, he is speaking out the arse. He is speaking, which has caused him most of his problems. If he just would have stopped and said, let me check with my investigators, or let me check the notes, let me check with the people that actually know, because I'm the figurehead and I am just talking in generalities, we would have a lot less issues. He would have a lot less issues, a lot less issues. Even Chief Fry, who I think was the most honest, reputable, kind person who was in charge of the Idaho 4 case and did a heck of a job getting the FBI involved, by the way, within hours of finding those four souls dead, murdered, massacred. If he would have done that, that would have served him very well. But he waited 4 days, and he always talks in these generalities that end up being contradictory to true evidence. This, my friends, is true evidence. That is from Annie Tomaso's cell phones and probably cross-referenced with their vehicle when it arrived and cross-referenced with the garage. That's why it says 11:56. Not 11, not 11-ish, not 11:15, 11:56. This is where these times come from, I assure you, from doing these exact charts. And if you're listening to other people who are just generally saying, I'm telling you where it comes from, because I speak from behind the curtain. All right. So that's what this also is. This is going to come down to other particular times that we're going to talk about. And not only times, but more importantly, because I believe these are a little bit more general. When I say more general, probably within, a few seconds, 1 minute or so, because they're the log as pulled from somebody who did a lot of great work, but not specifically. I cannot see the line of the dispatch call, so I can't see that exact time. But this person could, and I thought they did a fabulous job pulling this off. We're going to continue reviewing it because I think it is
trying to get an exact.
Important. So we're going to fast forward now to the 2:40 mark. So she spends a lot of time in between calls and a lot of time before calls even come up to discuss the different calls, and what she makes out of them. We're going to skip all that. We're going to go to this next call.
Next one.
I'll be 1060, the missing person as well, also.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Let me let you listen.
Texted everyone that's working a OL and photo over.
Okay. This is really important. Let me back this up just a minute. Here we go. This is really important because this shows that a BOLO, a bee on the lookout, went out at about 12:23. So again, within 20 minutes of coming in, within 20 minutes of coming in to the call, in other words, understanding the call happening, within 20 minutes of that, there was a BOLO of a photo of her that went out. And this is fabulous because, again, law enforcement would have met with family. They would have had a photo of her. They probably photos around a family and everything. But nevertheless, they had a known photo of her that they were able to get out to officers. So this, I have to say, I know this seems like a long time. 20 minutes is a long time when you're talking about somebody being abducted, but they acted fairly quickly to get this out to Pima County and to their folks. Again, 1060, he's in that area. If you look at your 10 codes, and so he's texting everybody that is up and around and working that they are going. Or that they, what she looked like, so that people could be looking, that are patrolling in and around that area. So good job on that. All right, we're going to go now on to the 401 mark, which is the next one we have here. 401. Let me get this just right. Well, this is pretty good.
Yeah, the property thoroughly. Let me know if you want to get search and rescue involved.
Okay. So again, this is a dispatch call, meaning they are communicating with officers who are on scene as to what the next steps are, what needs to be done, and so forth. So this is what's going on here. And they're saying, listen, once you guys check the property, we need to know if we want to get search and rescue involved. So this is just one aspect. And I want to talk from the point of view of what it's like to be on scene there. And even though the FBI, we definitely talk with our dispatch. We do radio comms for sure. But at the local level, it is so much more prevalent. Everything that is done, not everything, but a vast majority of a lot of the calls that are made and things that are done through dispatch. And the reason I know is 6 years detached to a gang unit with the local officers, reporting every day to the local gang unit, and then also working two other assignments where I was detached to local authorities and being out with local authorities. And I can tell you their dispatch compared to the bureaus, how we use our dispatch, is much more vibrant. For instance, with us, we let them know when we've arrived, when we've left, when we've arrested somebody, at what point we've arrested somebody, that we're en route so they can log our times. But at the local level, you're going to see much more detail, which is very good for us as we're beginning to look at this. So, again, this is what they've been told to do. And they're asking, so at 12:30, now we're about a half an hour in, do we need to get search and rescue? And remember, search and rescue is typically a separate unit within the department where you have particular people that are assigned to search and rescue. So very interesting right there that's the mark that it's at least asked about. And again, behind the scenes, you're going to have the individuals on scene, the officers on scene who are not the detectives. You have officers that get dispatched and they're the first on scene to sort of make assessments. And then they're coordinating with their dispatch, and their dispatch is trying to get ahead of the game, saying, listen, if you need me to dispatch search and rescue, let me know. They're also trying to give a little bit of a plug here, right? Just a little bit of a plug saying, hey, you might want to think about search and rescue. And then you have these officers that are calling into their sergeant. So separately from dispatch, not everything's done through dispatch. They are calling into their sergeant and saying, listen, this is what we have found here. Thank you, Immortal Sergeant. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you so much. So anyway, this is important again, because this is going to be added up to this timeline in part, and then there's going to be so much more added because now you have to add, when did search and rescue really respond? When did each of these questions get answered that the dispatch brings up here, or that's discussed on the dispatch? Okay, let's move right along. Let's move right along to the 510 mark.
It sounds like.
Okay, 510 mark. All right. Here we go.
But I don't know.
17. If you want to stick to the neighborhoods northwest, 842, you can take the southwest, and I'll stay on the east portion on Campbell neighborhood.
Okay. Okay. So if you heard that, let me back that up to keep this on screen for you. My thing is so touchy.
We go
this.
If you want to stick to the neighborhood.
Stop so you can read it. So anyway, if you can see here, they're talking about, and again, it's not just dispatch talking. This is dispatch. This is also officers talking amongst each other. That's what's so wonderful, again, about these dispatch records. Whether I'm working, was working a case as an FBI agent, or whether in expert work, no matter what, you want these dispatch logs. These dispatch logs tell so much about when things happen. And even though you can cross-reference with things like telephones and other information to cross-reference, these times are going to be really rock solid, because you get to hear in real time with a timestamp what was occurring. So they're just great, great forms of evidence. Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. That's the we love having a lot of members. It's so great. We have this gift that we're going to be giving on August 1st with some FBI things. And we really appreciate all of those that are part of our community. Not to digress too much from this, but I just wanted to thank you. Okay, so anyway, more facts here that now they're saying, this officer says, listen, I'm going to stick with the northwest part of the neighborhood and you take the southwest. So they're sort of starting to divide up on where they're going to look. And then somebody says, I'll go east of the neighborhood. So they're kind of trying to divide up this neighborhood, and they want to let each other know as officers, listen, this is where I'm at. So they don't come into their neighborhood. So again, let me play this again. Some people saying they didn't hear it. Let me just play this again real quick from about right here.
But I don't know.
If you want to stick to the neighborhoods northwest, 842, you can take the southwest, and I'll stay on the east portion on Campbell neighborhood.
Okay, so wonderful there. So we can kind of hear that. Let me move on to the next segment here. It's at 5:31. Here we go.
Try not to disturb any of the items in the house. We're getting a hold of a scent tracking dog, so try to stay away from the blood outside and anything inside the house that could hold a scent.
All right, this is probably the most interesting one I came across. And the reason is, it's 12:45. They're saying not to disturb anything in the house. Again, these are reminders to the officers that should obviously know, please, you cannot disturb anything in the home. I mean, this is Officer 101 should know, but you can imagine sometimes things are dumped over. Sometimes an officer will set something down and it might disturb something. Sometimes they'll pick something up. The problem with missing calls is they are so often not treated as homicides or abductions or kidnappings. They're automatically treated sort of as walkaways. And that just comes down to training. That comes down to departments needing to give training to their on-scene officers that first respond to say, whoa, listen, you have to treat this as worst case scenario, or we're going to have another JonBenet moment here. You have to do that. But I like that via these dispatch transmissions, we see that this reminder is given. Don't disturb anything. They're going to get a scent dog out there to try to stay away from the blood outside of the home. And again, it's clear to me, and these are things now that we know for sure. We know for sure, for an example, that they knew right away there was blood that was there. It wasn't anything they overlooked or didn't know. Again, I think that's why this is so important to see these dispatch logs, because a lot of people have just been guessing, right? I guess that they knew about the blood early. Well, we know they knew about the blood early. They knew not to disturb things. And now we can see, and that's why I love this. I love facts that I could see in here. I don't love source information. I do love facts like these. And so again, to put this back up
inside the house that,
oops, sorry.
Could hold a scent.
Boy, that is fuzzy, isn't it? Sorry. Let me get this back up on screen. So, and the reason, which this was concerning. Oh my gosh, thank you so much. That means we just got another member. So thank you. I really appreciate that, K-E-H from the UK. Thank you again. I wanted to mention here that I find it interesting, though, that the reason denoted for not disturbing anything is because of a tracking dog and their concern about the scent inside of the home. It should go way beyond that, right? Don't disturb anything, because we don't know if this is foul play. We don't know what is going on there. Please don't disturb anything. Again, these officers should know 101, don't touch anything, don't move anything, interview Tommaso and Annie outside of the house, away from that perimeter, not even in the guest house, because you just don't know what pieces and areas of this property are going to be important, because you're the first on scene. So, you know, in my opinion, this just doesn't happen often enough. Typically, everybody wants to get comfortable and they all sit on the couch and they talk, and you've got million officers going in there going, oh my gosh, this is Nancy Guthrie's house. That's Savannah Guthrie's mom. And because, of course, they see the records the minute they pull up and have the address, they know who this home belongs to. And so anyway, interestingly, this is the time frame then that they're considering calling a dog. So now 1203 instigated. We know that the dog was called. I've showed a lot of pictures about that. They had a CBP scent dog, which I've always said, they are the best of the best. They track down illegal aliens coming across the border. They are good. They're excellent trackers. Unfortunately, you would think that they might also bring in cadaver dogs, because at this point, they just don't know. Even if it would have been an accident, like a situation where for whatever reason, she wandered off and had an episode and then ended up dying of a medical emergency, you would still want a cadaver dog. So nevertheless, that's concerning. I want to read this really quick from Christine Camley. And thank you. I know you're such a dedicated member of our family of true crimers here. Thank you so much. I love facts. This is fascinating. Thanks so much, Jen, and to the people who sent you the DMs. Yes, facts are critical. And I try to read all my DMs. Sometimes it's hard, but I find so many interesting leads, facts. And when you guys say, hey, listen, take a look at this, I can assure you, I follow up. It might take me a minute depending on what's going on, but I absolutely follow up. Immortal Sergeant, thank you so much. I tell you, I wish I knew who you all were just so I could, in a better way, say thank you. But I know a lot of people are keep their anonymity here, and I 100% understand it. There are too many wackadoodles where you can literally just not, you cannot have the same opinion on a case, and all of a sudden you have everybody trying to find out where you work and ruin your life. So I so appreciate anonymity. And I always call everybody, even if I know their real name, by their stage name, because by the way, I love the stage names. They're so funny. Immortal Sergeant. So I believe you are somebody in law enforcement because I've seen you. I've seen your questions. And so I thank you. Another gifted five. Wow. Break the case. Thank you so much again. So this was Nancy's shirt that was used by the CBP pet tracking dogs. And again, I can tell you, I don't know of any better tracking dogs that could have been used in a case like this, in any case, really. They are truly, truly the best of the best. And so I appreciate that they got them out there and got them out there fairly quickly. And now for the first time, we know this mark, everyone.
So try to stay away from the blood out.
We know the mark at approximately 12:45. So about 42 minutes after the initial call. Again, I'm going to show you this up here. After the 12:03 call to 911 was made by Annie and Tommaso, within about 12:45, they are working
inside the house now.
They are working on getting out scent dogs. So great. They're reminding those officers inside, do not touch anything. Be particularly careful to protect, because of course they were thinking about scent. I actually was looking for one of the outfits that she had that had her blue shirt. What I thought was really sad though, and I want to say this, I really thought it was terrible that after and I'm going to call the good with the bad. I've given them a lot of accolades, but I'm going to call the good with the bad. This is absolutely baloney that they just pitched her shirt after use. Maybe this was picked back up and maybe later it was given, you know, but can you imagine if that scent had gone somewhere that ended up being important, or maybe later it ends up important that they, you know, followed the tracing to just say it was to the end of the driveway and then they lost the scent and they used this to prove that. And now they've tossed this. This needs to be in evidence. This was used to track one way or the other. Remember, even not knowing something is evidence. Even when something doesn't track, you still pull it in evidence and you say, listen, this was the shirt. This is what we used. And that this is what we used to try to find Nancy after, and that either it went or it didn't. But you don't just say, okay, I'm done with that. Let's just toss it on the yard. I've got many pictures of this shirt. It's so disheartening, everyone. It's so, so disheartening that happened. It really is. But nevertheless, they had dogs out there. We saw the dogs out there. I've got a lot of film of the dogs. And now we know the time frame. Okay, moving right along.
Could hold a scent.
All right. The next time frame we're going to look at is the 6:27 time frame here. So it's 6:27. Here we go.
Can you start checking any adjacent properties to see if anyone's got cameras that might be facing this way? Family here does not have access to the cameras on the property.
All right. Another good piece of evidence for us to know that we did not previously know that was apparently said, at least according to this dispatch record. So they're finally saying an adjacent property in, you know, terms. They're talking about all the properties that would have been across the street, next door, behind, these properties that would have been in proximity to Nancy's house. So this is how early this time frame is happening now. So now we're within less than 45 minutes. They are getting people dispatched to check with people about cameras. And I've talked a lot about this, how there's sort of that initial, what we call canvases. That's when you go to neighbors in the neighborhood to check on things. And in the initial one, listen, they don't have it together from the standpoint. They don't have what I talked about with, which are canvas questions. That should have been put together after, though, where you have the same set of list of questions that are asked of every single neighbor you canvass. And it's usually very in-depth, maybe 30, 40 questions regarding any and everything you can think of that you work together as. It's definitely a mind melt, meaning everyone is working on it that's on the case. All of your trusted detectives, hey, what do we need to get together for this Canvas interview list? And you get the questions out because three heads are better than one, or however many. You want to make sure you have everything together that you want to have asked. But that wouldn't have been part of the initial Canvas. The initial Canvas, actually, I also would have wanted to go to the house to make sure she wasn't in any adjacent houses. And we've seen that. I'll give you a case that you all know about, many of you who follow true crime, is Michael Vaughn. Michael Vaughn, they did canvases and they missed the fact that a neighbor, now charged, took Michael Vaughn. God knows what they did with him, other than murder him and purportedly bury him in the backyard. They never found him in the backyard. They dug up that backyard with a backhoe, but of course it had been, I can't even remember how many years later. But my point is that you can't only canvas by just knocking and do you know anything. You have to be thorough and you have to ask to have a look-see. Some people aren't going to let you and you're not going to have probable cause, but you just have to hope. And most of the time, I can tell you in my experience, people say, come on in, please look around. Post haste, right after crime, because you never know when a neighbor could be responsible for an abduction like this or for a murder. It happens. It happens. And in this case, we know that at least early on, now we have a pretty good time frame of when the first canvases become. So, you know, for me, again, I'm an investigative, anal retentive dork, and I love anything you can add to my timeline, anything you can help me to understand when things first happen. I just love, love, love. So let's go on. So we know again
to the
is what happened at this approximate time. And I do believe these are directly related to Nancy based on the time frame, based on where they happened, and based on more details that we're going to see. All right, we have two more. At 8:07, let me fast forward to 8:07. Let's see, a little bit more. All right, here we go.
Keen inside, they were able to get into the phone. Also, Keen is here.
Wow. Okay. Let's be clear on something here. And I don't know if you remember this, but we have seen that Nancy's things were left behind. Over and over again, everybody says her things were left behind. They talk about her medication. They said her cell phone. They said things were left behind. But for the first time, and I have looked and looked and looked for this, I always wanted to know about the cane. I always said the chances of them letting her go with a cane are pretty much zero. This was a violent assault, so violent that she had blood expiration, not aspiration, expiration, which would have come from either a cough, possibly a sneeze. I've got lots of pictures of this now that I finally have that are very up close, because this one always bothered me. This, myself and homicide detective Dale Lundberg, we thought this was where that he stopped and continued splatter, right? When you continuously have spatter like this, it can cause these little bitty, but I have another picture that's amazing that's over to the left of this that shows that fine mist away from where these droplets fell, one in a row, which is what you're seeing there. And that clearly shows me she was alive, even though possibly unconscious, and that she, gosh, I have a hair on my face, and that she, whether you're unconscious or not, your vagus nerves, your nerves still work that control your involuntary impulses, such as reflexes, such as coughing, such as sneezing, eye blinking, swallowing, breathing, your heart. All of these things are involuntarily controlled, whether you're unconscious or not. That's why somebody can be totally knocked unconscious. As an example, my son at that horrible football incident, and yet everything else was working. His brain was out as a blank, and that can happen. And I think it's very, very possible that she you know, had suffered trauma in there. We know she had internal injury, or you would not see this. So let me put this back up again. I got to get my glasses. We're going to have one more after this.
Here.
This is also here we can listen.
Very telling to me. Because they talk about they were able to get into the phone, everyone. They talk about they were able to get in the phone. So that tells me, A, either she didn't have a password, or B, Annie and Tommaso knew that password. Again, they were her caretakers. It would make absolute sense to me that they had full authority over her, which again goes and begs the question, why in the world, if you could hurt her at any time, why you would stage this elaborate thing? I'm not even going to get there. Someday I do want to have, I hope we can find somebody that's actually has some legitimacy. I don't know if there's anybody out there with legitimacy in law enforcement. I just want to say that, that I can have a debate about this with, because I would love to do that, because I still see that people want to blame the family. But nevertheless, from the previous slide, from this slide, we know they were able to get in the phone. I believe they is Annie and Tommaso. They know how to get in the phone. They had the passwords, or she didn't have the passwords and they were able to get in the phone. And then again, for the first time, I finally see in writing. And again, I always say, look for facts that you yourself could see with your own eyes. You can visually see things that law enforcement has put in writing, even though I know the caveat to that. But because what we're hearing is coming from the sheriff, but it's what we have. And these timelines and the fact that they're working hand in hand with the FBI, say hand in hand, begrudgingly hand in hand, but the Bureau is all over this case. They are not going to release something like saying that the family is not responsible for the crime if they are not fully behind that, everyone. So anyway, nevertheless, these were the two big things on this one. And I saw something else pop up there that I want to go back to the other really quickly. I think it was at 6:27 right here. Okay, so I saw somebody asking in chat about, well, why wouldn't they have any access to the cameras? Well, remember, there was no subscription. So this guy is just saying there's no access to the cameras here. It's not that they were denied access. No one had access. Google barely had access, with the FBI breathing down their necks 10 days into this investigation. So there was no way to see, because unless you have subscription, you're not going to have it on your phone where you can pull it up, where it's recorded. So no one had access. So I just wanted to pull that up to remind everyone about that. All right, we're going to go now to the last one we have here, which is right here at about this mark. Let's go.
Right. Local ERs and hospitals.
Okay, let me replay that one a little bit. Here we go.
Once.
Negative Jane Doe's on all the local ERs and hospitals.
Now, let me tell you what bothered me about this, and I'm sure many of you are going to be bothered as well. Are you kidding me? You checked Jane Doe's? Okay, it's always important to check Jane Doe's. Like I said, what happens if she heard something, she walked out her back door, she collapsed, the pacemaker gave that indication, emergency units were called, and they came and they picked her up and took her to the hospital. And for whatever reason, the emergency staff, because she was outside, somehow didn't know who she was for sure. They didn't have any identifiable a purse or ID. She was just in her pajamas. It could be a Jane Doe. Okay. So I agree with checking for Jane Doe's, but you better darn well also check for Nancy Guthrie. You have to do it. You have to check all Jane Doe's in case for some reason she got taken in there without a name. So you check for that. There's nothing is going to hurt you checking for Jane Doe's. But you better darn well also check for Nancy Guthrie. Now, in this case, it's really a moot point because unfortunately, I wanted to pull up that other comment. Apologies. Put this back on stage. Let me put up this other comment. Anybody who comments and is kind enough to make a donation to the channel, I just so appreciate you. Christine Camley, I knew my precious mama's passwords. AT&T likely knew Nancy's passwords. The family didn't harm their beloved mom. Fascinating evidence, the same, Jen. Thank you, Christine. And I completely agree. When you are a caretaker, and I think a lot of people might not have been caretakers that sometimes I see just generally in social media that are commenting. Unless you're a caretaker, it's really, by the way, I believe, an honor to be the one in your family. And I understand sometimes it's just based on proximity. Based on proximity, you're the one that gets the call. But so many caretakers, and I would believe this would be the situation here, you can say, listen, I'm not going to do that. I'm too busy. I have a son. Annie could have said, I'm working three jobs. Tommaso could have said, listen, I work at the Oro school. No, I just don't have time to be looking in on her and doing this. We're going to hire somebody. And then some families don't do anything. Look at Gene Hackman. Sorry, I'm calling it the way I see it. For whatever reason, and I understand, you know, he had a younger wife, but he'd had a younger wife for decades. The bottom line is, a lot of people don't care for their family, their close family, either because they physically can't, because they themselves have issues, or because they have so much going on in their work life and their child life, they don't think it's fair, or they don't want to, or it's easier to just hire somebody. But my whole point here is Annie and Tommaso did. And Annie and Tommaso, we know now, it would appear, had access to the phone from what we're seeing here. So everyone, great information today, facts, and please, if you know anything, hear anything new, I'm constantly looking for facts I can bring you to further, solidify the timeline we have, and to make, everything a little bit clearer. This is a horrible situation, what happened to Nancy. I know we don't talk about it a lot, but this is literally a situation where she was viciously taken. We know that because she had internal injury. You do not cough up or spew out, expirate blood without a serious injury, internal injury of some nature. I believe she was alive. I believe she died probably very shortly thereafter. I believe she would have been thrown in a trunk. I believe she was taken somewhere and dumped, maybe even Mexico. I believe this very much could be a wrench attack. A wrench attack being individuals who are focused on getting cryptocurrency information to be able to obtain cryptocurrency. I've gone over a lot why I think that could be a very possible situation. Why that could be the case and why that could be stalling out the FBI, because it is complicated and it involves a porch guy who was a complete stranger, a complete mope, and, dressed up that day like a villain and was able to get this horrible deed accomplished. Cryptocurrency ransom people, I explained, over 182 million, everybody, that's not thousand, million, has been paid in cryptocurrency ransom in 2024. In 2025, over 800 million. In 2023, over 1.2 billion. This is what people who kidnap people, this is how they want to be paid. And wrench attacks come in all different forms. We went over the other day an individual whose father was taken. They cut his finger off. We went into detail about that wrench attack. I hope you can go back and take a look, but I'll keep bringing you facts and evidence so you guys have it and so you guys can think about it and make your determinations. I always say it's you all that are going to be on juries deciding facts like this. And it's important to understand everything we can. Again, the biggest thing law enforcement, in my opinion, can do right now, unless they know who Porch Guy is to get his picture up on billboards, flyers, every place we can see it. Everyone, we are day 117. And every day I hope that justice will be served for the Guthrie family. Until next time, we'll see you tomorrow. It's going to be, and I always want to thank the mods. They do a fabulous job. I couldn't really see what was going on here, but a couple of times I glanced and I saw, get him out of here. I think one of you said, you know, I always appreciate people who have other thoughts and great questions and want to challenge any information. I love that. But of course, name calling and just talking stupid. It's kind of like being in this great conversation with a bunch of people and then just have somebody talking nonsense becomes noise. So I'm not sure what happened. I'm not sure what anybody said. I don't even know who it was, but I just looked over and I saw someone in chat say, get him out of here. So I'll have to look back. But thank you all for being here. And I love your conversation. Thank you, mods, for doing such a great job. Thank you for all the generous donations today. We'll keep the facts coming to you. And until next time, everybody, which will be tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern with the turkey. And we're just going to be talking about Nancy Guthrie. I had Turkey on more as a commentator, or not a commentator, more as an individual who was actually asking questions. I asked him to do that, and I had myself who was also asking questions. And we had Turney, and we had Dale Lumberg on. We had a nice panel of guests to go over things. But I've never done a one-on-one show with him, with Nancy Guthrie, and he reached out. I think it'll be great. He's always so insightful, and he always comes across a lot of things that are very interesting. So I'm really looking forward to Drug Turkey discussing with Daniel this case. So until next time, everyone, thank you for being here. May justice be served.